Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Planned Parenthood starts performing abortions again in Wisconsin today. Lawyers for the health care clinics say that Wisconsin's 1849 ban does not criminalize abortion. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call agrees he's suing to have abortion rights fully restored in the state.
Before too long, I think there's a chance that the circuit court judge will issue a final ruling in the next few months. So hopefully we will get to a point where we have certainty here as to where things stand, and there won't be any doubt whatsoever.
Call was on Upfront on WISN-TV yesterday. Meanwhile, Senator Tammy Baldwin is working to have abortion rights codified under federal law, and her bill would also ban restrictive laws at the state level.
We cannot have a patchwork of state-to-state regulation that means that women don't have the same rights in one jurisdiction than they do in another.
Baldwin spoke at a recent WisPolitics luncheon. Abortion opponents say they're dismayed. Wisconsin Family Action claims abortion is still illegal in Wisconsin. No abortions have been performed here since the U.S. Supreme Court's Dobbs decision last year overturning Roe v. Wade. U.S. House Republicans want to cut the Environmental Protection Agency budget by 39%. As Brett Pivato reports, that would be a setback for efforts to clean up PFAS pollution.
The House Appropriations Committee's budget for fiscal year 2024 would reduce funding for the EPA by nearly $4 billion. But John Reeder with the nonprofit Environmental Working Group says in inflation-adjusted terms, the cut is much greater.
This funding level would take EPA back 50 years. It's a severe cut. It would devastate EPA.
Over the summer, the agency released an analysis of drinking water and found PFAS levels greater than the minimum reporting limit in over 400 public water supplies across the country. Brett Pivato reporting.
State lawmakers might try to encourage more young people in Wisconsin to take driver's education classes. A proposed bill would cover $6 million worth of course fees for students who get free lunch and reduced lunch. The cost of driver's ed may be causing many young people to wait until they're 18 to get their licenses. At that point, they're no longer required to get formal training. The state of Wisconsin is requiring burning permits in a dozen southern counties starting today. The special fire order will stay in place until further notice from Platteville to Waupaca. You won't need a burn permit for campfires, but wardens are still urging people to be careful. The fire danger is due to stubborn drought conditions. Now that fall is getting closer, dead leaves and pine needles are making matters worse. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Burnett County Sheriff's Office is investigating after a man was found dead along a riverbank. According to a Sheriff's Office Facebook post, authorities received a call after a resident claimed to have found a body on the riverbank near the bridge on Grandy Dancer Trail in Swiss Township. The deceased man has been identified as 49-year-old Sean Songate of Danbury, Wisconsin. No further information has been released regarding the man's death and the case is under investigation. After a judge ruled that Wisconsin's 1849 law does not apply to voluntary abortion last week, Planned Parenthood is set to resume abortion services in the state today. It'll be the first time since June of 2022 that Planned Parenthood provides abortion services in the state after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in their Dobbs decision. Pro-choice and pro-life organizations are preparing for the resumption of abortions, with Planned Parenthood hiring top security professionals in anticipation of backlash. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers lose to the Falcons. Good morning from Atlanta. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers lose to the Falcons 25-24. Green Bay let a 2-touchdown lead slip away in the second half. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Very disappointed that when you have a 12-point lead in the second half and you don't make the plays and don't play complimentary football, and then when you have mistakes, all those get magnified.
The game came down to a pair of 4th-and-1 plays late in the fourth quarter. The first was a botched quarterback sneak by Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
I just messed up the operation with the cadence on that one. And so not everybody was got the call to get the sneak, so I just messed that operation up right there.
The other was the defense, unable to stop rookie running back Bijan Robinson from getting a first down on 4th-and-1, allowing Atlanta to kick the go-ahead field goal.
Midway the fourth quarter, we started, you know, running the ball, bringing the DBs up, and then giving some shots downfield to the receivers. You know, you kind of felt them, you know, starting to back off.
Falcons head coach Arthur Smith.
It means a lot for us to win at home. I thought our crowd has been unbelievable the last two games, and it really made a difference.
College football, the Badgers beat Georgia Southern 35-14. Wisconsin improving to 2-1, but they struggled to get their run game going. Head coach Luke Fickell.
Yeah, that was part of the game plan. It didn't, you know, sometimes you got to adapt and adjust. In the first half, we couldn't and didn't for whatever reason. You know, we'll go and take a good hard look at it and to see why, and, you know, give them some credit. They got some 340 pounders inside there, and it's not the easiest thing in the world, I guess, early on.
Up next, the Badgers travel to Purdue to play in a rare Friday night game. Baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers won the series, but lost to the Nationals yesterday 2-1 in 11 innings. The crew flew to St. Louis, where they open a four-game series against the Cardinals tonight at 6:45. Craig Counsell was disappointed they didn't sweep the Nationals.
We had opportunities to win that game. Lots of at-bats with the man in scoring position, and just didn't get the next hit.
That's Brewers manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Welcome in to the Stu Daniels Show on this Friday morning. It's the 15th day of September, and hope you're having a good day so far. Come on in, get a cup of coffee, have a seat, and we're going to cover some news and sports and weather over the next couple of hours. Hopefully have some fun, too. Let me give you some weather information. Outside today in La Crosse, it's increasing cloudiness, chance of afternoon rain, high around 74 degrees. In Eau Claire, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, high around 67. Richland Center, increasing clouds, high around 80 degrees. In Amory today, cloudy in the morning, sunny in the afternoon, chance of showers, high around 70. And in Hayward today, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, high around 70 degrees. And in sports, the Brewers beat the Marlins yesterday 4-2. The Cubs were off yesterday, so Milwaukee now 4.5 games ahead of Chicago in the National League Central with only about 2 weeks to go in the regular season. Looking pretty good for the Brewers, and they start a three-game series with the Nationals tonight in Milwaukee. And by the way, today, the 15th of September, is Roberto Clemente Day all around baseball, Major League Baseball. So what's going on in the headlines today? Let me give you a few of the headlines. As you may know, Wisconsin's Republican lawmakers voted yesterday to fire the state's top election official, mainly for false claims of widespread fraud in the presidential election that Donald Trump lost in 2020. Also, Wisconsin's Republican-controlled assembly passed a redistricting reform plan yesterday, but Governor Evers says he will veto it. And you probably heard the United Auto Workers began a strike last night against the big three U.S. automakers. And our old buddy Aaron Rodgers last night said the surgery to repair his Achilles tendon, quote, went great. So that's a good thing. All right, hopefully he will recover quickly. And do you think there's a chance that we'll see him at the end of the season? I don't know. They say that that Achilles thing could be a six-month rehab, but you never know about that guy. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he came back at the end of the season. I don't think anybody's expecting that, though, so don't you expect it, all right? Hey, we've got 9 minutes, almost 10 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, and the first thing that I want to get to is a piece by a guy who knows as much or more about politics in Wisconsin than anyone, Craig Gilbert. He, for a long time, the politics guy at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I think for 25 years or so was the guy in the Washington Bureau covering politics for the Journal Sentinel. Well, he's now at Marquette University, but he still writes for the Journal Sentinel occasionally. And he has a new piece in the Journal Sentinel that I want to share with you. The headline from Craig Gilbert says, "Are Wisconsin's election maps rigged?" As Janet Protasiewicz said they were. And that is evidently why Republicans want to impeach her now if she doesn't recuse herself from the cases that have to do with the election maps. Well, here's what Craig Gilbert is saying. He says, are the Wisconsin election maps rigged? Here are the reasons. The answer is yes. And it starts out this way. It says half a year before the 2022 election, I wrote a column predicting how many seats Republicans would win that fall in the 99-member Wisconsin Assembly. It was an attempt to illustrate how meaningless these elections have become. My argument, says Craig Gilbert, was that the outcome had
You want to hop on, Stu? The recording sure. Seemed to have just stopped. Don't know why.
I'm ready.
Go for it.
Are we on now?
Yes.
Are we on the radio? Are we on live? All right.
Yes.
I hope my listeners can hear me. It is 12 minutes after 8 o'clock. And evidently, we've got some gremlins in the system today. Everything seemed fine a few minutes ago. And I'm not sure what's going on, but I think my listeners can hear me. So if you can, hey, good morning. I hope you're having a good day so far. It is a Monday. It's the 18th day of September. And outside today should be a pretty nice fall day. Up in Hayward today, mostly sunny with a high around 69 degrees. In Amory, sunshine, high around 73. In Richland Center, mostly sunny with a high around 76. Eau Claire today, sunshine, high around 74. And in La Crosse, mostly sunny with a high around 75 degrees. So in sports, you probably know the Packers lost yesterday to the Falcons. Their next game is against the Saints on Sunday at Lambeau. And the Brewers lost to the Nationals yesterday, final score 2-1. The Brewers start a four-game series with the Cardinals tonight in St. Louis. And so what's going on in the news? Well, I did notice one thing. It says here that city leaders in La Crosse are urging residents to mulch their leaves. Okay, so if you're in the city limits of La Crosse, city leaders, the Parks Department encouraging you to mulch your leaves this year and leave them on the lawn. Okay, it's good for the lawn, but it's also good for the landfill, so you're not throwing the stuff into the landfill. So the first thing I want to get to today is something I've brought up before on this show, and it's the topic of overpopulation. You know, it seems like a lot of our problems these days, not only locally, but across the country and even around the world, have to do with the fact that there may be too many people on the earth right now. What's your opinion on that? Do you think that's possible, or do you think we shouldn't even worry about that? We should just keep having more babies, and there'll be plenty of room for everybody. And if we ever run out of room and things get too crazy, then we can always populate the moon or Mars or something else. Well, there's an opinion piece in the New York Times today I want to draw your attention to. And it says here, the headline is, "The world's population may peak in your lifetime. What happens next?" And this piece, this opinion piece, is written by Dean Spears. And that's Dr. Dean Spears. He's an economist at the University of Texas, Austin, and a research affiliate at its Population Research Center. And what he says is the global human population has been climbing for the past two centuries. But what is normal for all of us alive today, growing up while the world is growing rapidly, may be a blip in human history. Children born today will very likely live to see the end of global population growth. A baby born this year will be 60 in the 2080s, when demographers at the United Nations expect the size of humanity to peak. The Wittgenstein Center for Demography and Global Human Capital in Vienna places the peak in the 2070s. The Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington places it in the 2060s. All of the predictions agree on one thing: we're going to peak soon. And then we shrink. Humanity will not reach a plateau and then stabilize. It will begin an unprecedented decline, because most demographers look ahead only to 2100. There's no consensus on exactly how quickly populations will fall after that. Over the past 100 years, the global population quadrupled from 2 billion to 8 billion. That's just in 100 years. As long as life continues as it has, with people choosing smaller family sizes, as is now common in most of the world, then in the 22nd or 23rd century, our decline could be just as steep as our rise. Most people now live in countries where two or fewer children are born for every two adults. If all people in the United States today lived through their reproductive years and had babies at an average pace, then it would add up to about 1.66 births per woman. 17 minutes after 8 o'clock, almost 18 minutes after, we're going to take a break. It's a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Well, it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, baby, even you don't know by now. And it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, baby, it'll never do somehow. When your rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm a-traveling on, but don't think twice, it's all right. And it ain't no use in a-turning on your light, baby, the light I never knowed.
Attention taxpayers, ready for some bad news? With $80 billion in new funding from Congress, the IRS has launched their most aggressive hiring campaign ever to ramp up enforcement. If you're ignoring your taxes, don't delay another minute, because your paycheck, your bank account, even your home or business could already be at risk. Now, here's the good news. Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm, can get to work immediately, helping to protect you from the IRS. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, their tax attorneys and licensed professionals are experts at resolving tax problems. Let them help determine if you qualify for the Fresh Start Initiative or other powerful IRS tax assistance programs. Take control. Call Optima Tax Relief now for a free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. A mix of clouds and sun today, with highs around 73. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows dip down to about 52. Highs level off around 74 tomorrow. Overcast. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Wednesday, with highs in the low 80s. Chance for scattered rain showers and highs in the upper 70s on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 50.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Said the fight to make ends meet keeps a man up on his feet, holding down his job, trying to show he can't be bought. Who takes every kind of people to make what life's about, yeah. Someone's looking for a lead in his duty to a king or to a queen, protecting what he feels is right, fights against wrong with his life. There's no profit in deceit. Honest men know that revenge does not deceit. Each and every man's the same inside. Who takes every kind of people to make what life's about, yeah. It takes every kind of people to make the world go round.
Every kind of people. Music from Robert Palmer on this Monday morning, 23 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. And speaking of people, we're talking about population and perhaps overpopulation on this earth that we call home. And just before the break, I was going over an opinion piece from the New York Times with a headline that says, "The world's population may peak in your lifetime, and what happens next?" This piece is written by a guy who knows about such things. His name is Dr. Dean Spears. He's an economist at the University of Texas, Austin, and a research affiliate at its Population Research Center. And what he and other experts are saying is that over the past 100 years, the population of Earth has gone from 2 billion to 8 billion, but at some point in the next 50 years or so, chances are that population growth is going to drop off in a big way. And just before the break, I got to the point of this opinion piece that says most people now live in countries where two or fewer children are born for every two adults. And if all people in the United States today lived through their reproductive years and had babies at an average pace, then it would add up to about 1.66 births per woman. In Europe, that number is 1.5. In East Asia, it's 1.2. And in Latin America, it's 1.9. Any worldwide average of fewer than two children per two adults means our population shrinks. And in the long run, each new generation is smaller than the one before it. If the world's fertility rate were the same as in the United States today, then the global population would fall from a peak of around 10 billion to less than 2 billion about 300 years later, over perhaps 10 generations. And if family sizes remain small, we would continue declining. So what would happen as a consequence of that decline? Well, it says here, over the past 200 years, humanity's population growth has gone hand in hand with profound advances in living standards and wealth. Longer lives, healthier children, better education, shorter work weeks, and many more improvements. Our period of progress began recently, bringing the discovery of antibiotics, the invention of electric light bulbs, video calls with grandma, and the possibility of eradicating guinea worm disease. In this short period, humanity has been large and growing. Economists who study growth and progress don't think this is a coincidence. Innovations and discoveries are made by people. In a world with fewer people in it, the loss of so much human potential may threaten humanity's continued path toward better lives. Whenever low birth rates get public attention, chances are somebody is concerned about what it means for international competition, immigration, or a government's fiscal challenges over the coming decades as the population ages. There's more to this story. We'll get to it after the break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local civic media radio station.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Five Americans being held by Iran are set to be freed today as part of a prisoner exchange that also includes the unfreezing of $6 billion that had been held by South Korea. Critics are calling it a ransom. As the UAW strike against the big three car makers enters day 4, Here's ABC's Rhiannon Alley.
The UAW is demanding a return to pensions, better benefits for retirees, cost of living adjustments, and a 40% pay increase, which it says is on par with what CEOs have received.
We'll amp up the pressure. We'll take more plants out.
GM has announced temporary layoffs for 2,000 non-striking employees. Ford is doing the same to 600.
A $250,000 reward being offered for information leading to the arrest of whoever shot and killed a Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy as he sat in his car this weekend. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin's Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf plans to stay on the job amid her legally questionable dismissal by Republicans in the state Senate. In an interview with WISN, Wolf said there has been this effort to bully us, to harass us, to try to get us to give in to political pressure, and I will not do that. I think it would set a dangerous precedent that says if you bully and harass an elected official enough, they'll just leave. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has also filed a lawsuit for an order to retain Wolf as administrator. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has reiterated his support for restoring reproductive rights in the state following the U.S. Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. Planned Parenthood is set to resume abortion services today after a judge ruled the 1849 law doesn't apply to consensual abortions. In the wake of that announcement, Governor Evers and Wisconsin Democrats have continued to try to expand abortion access since the Dobbs decision, but have struggled to overcome Republican majorities in the legislature. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how everybody's joking now.
The Vec.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine him rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
About Christopher Columbus.
very great man. You teach the youths about Marco Polo, and you said he was a very great man. You teach the youths about the pirate Hawkins, and you said he was a very great man. You teach the youths about the pirate Morgan, and you said he was a very great man. So you can't blame the youths when they don't learn.
Tosh on vocals there. Also, Bob Marley, Bunny Livingston. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 8:35 right now. 54 degrees in Eau Claire and 51 degrees in Amory. And before the break, we were discussing this opinion piece in the New York Times about population, overpopulation, the fact that most experts on the subject are saying that even though our population on Earth has increased fourfold from 2 billion to 8 billion over the past 100 years, and it will continue to go up for about another 50 years or so, they're saying after that, sometime around the 2070s or 2080s, population could fall off in a big way. So I was to the point in this New York Times opinion piece that says, what happens as a consequence of rapid decline in births? Well, it says here, over the past 200 years, humanity's population growth has gone hand in hand with profound advances in living standards and health, right? We mentioned this. We had longer lives, healthier children, better education, shorter work weeks, many more improvements. And it says here, whenever low birth rates get public attention, chances are somebody's concerned about what it means for international competition and immigration or a government's fiscal challenges over the coming decades as the population ages. But that's thinking too small. A depopulating world is a big change that we all face together. It's bigger than geopolitical advantage or government budgets. It's much bigger than nationalistic worries over which country or culture might manage to eke out a population decline that's a little bit slower than its neighbors. Sustained below replacement fertility will mean tens of billions of lives not lived over the next few centuries. Many lives that could have been wonderful for the people who would have lived them, and by your standards, too. Perhaps that loss doesn't trouble you. It would be tempting to welcome depopulation as a boon to the environment. But the pace of depopulation will be too slow for our most pressing problems. It will not replace the need for urgent action on climate, land use, biodiversity, population, and other environmental challenges. If the population hits around 10 billion people in the 2080s and then begins to decline, it might still exceed today's 8 billion after 2100. Population decline would come quickly, measured in generations, and yet arrive far too slowly to be more than a sideshow in the effort to save the planet. To decarbonize our economies and reform our land use and food systems must accelerate in this decade and the next, not start in the next century. This isn't a call to immediately remake our societies and economies in the service of birth rates. It's a call to start conversations now so that our response to low birth rates is a decision that is made with the best ideas from all of us. Kicking the can down the road will make choices more difficult for future generations. The economics and politics of a society in which the old outnumber the young will make it even harder to choose policies that support children. If we wait, the less inclusive, less compassionate, less calm elements within our society and many societies worldwide may someday call depopulation a crisis and exploit it to suit their agendas of inequality, nationalism, exclusion, or control. Paying attention now would create an opportunity to lay out a path that would preserve freedom, share burdens, advance gender equity, value care work, and avoid the disasters that happen when governments try to impose their will on reproduction. Or, perhaps, we don't need to concern ourselves at all if fertility rates self-correct to 2, the number 2. But the data shows that they don't. Births won't automatically rebound just because it would be convenient for advancing living standards or sharing the burden of care work or financing social insurance programs. We know that fertility rates can stay below replacement because they have. They've been below that level in Brazil and Chile for about 20 years, in Thailand for about 30 years, and in Canada, Germany, and Japan for about 50 years. In fact, in none of the countries where lifelong fertility rates have fallen well below 2, have they ever returned above it. Depopulation could continue generation after generation as long as people look around and decide that small families work best for them, some having no children, some having 3 or 4, and many having just 1 or 2. Nor can humanity count on any one region or subgroup to buoy us all, that buoy, B-U-O-Y, to buoy us all over the long run. Birth rates are falling in sub-Saharan Africa, the region with the current highest average rates, as education and economic opportunities continue to improve. Israel is an example of a rich country that, as of today, has above replacement fertility rates, but there too, fertility rates have been falling over the decades, from 4.5 in 1950 to 3.0 today. Israel may not be above 2.1 for many more generations. The main reason that birth rates are low is simple. People today want smaller families than people did in the past. That's true in different cultures and economies around the world. It's what both women and men report in surveys. Humanity is building a better, freer world with more opportunities for everyone, especially for women. By the way, if you're just joining us, I should mention that I'm reading from an opinion piece in the New York Times that discusses population, overpopulation, and the fact that we're going to peak in about 50 or 60 years from now. And then all evidence points to the fact that we're going to have a big decline pretty quickly of population on Earth. So humanity is building a better, freer world with more opportunities for everyone, especially for women. That progress deserves everyone's greatest celebration and everyone's continued efforts. That progress also means that for many of us, the desire to build a family can clash with other important goals, including having a career, pursuing projects, and maintaining relationships. No society has solved this yet. These trade-offs bite deep for parents everywhere. For some parents, that means struggle. For others, that means smaller families than they hoped for. And for too many, it means both. In a world of sustained low birth rates and declining populations, there may be threats of backsliding on reproductive freedom by limiting abortion rights, for example. Some will inexcusably claim that restricting reproductive choice is a way to curb long-run population decline, some already do. No. Low birth rates are no reason to reverse progress toward a more free, diverse, and equal world. Restricting reproductive rights by denying access to critical health care and by denying the basic freedom to choose to parent or not to parent would harm many people, and for that reason would be wrong whether or not depopulation is coming. And it would not prevent the population from shrinking. We know that because fertility rates are below 2, that's the number 2, both where abortion is freely available and where abortion is restricted, any policymaker asking how to respond to global depopulation should start by asking what people want and how to help them achieve it, rather than by asking what they might take away. There are many ways to live a life or be a family, and having that freedom and diversity is good. If an inclusive, compassionate response to population decline emerges someday, it need not be in conflict with those values. If one in every 4 pairs of American adults would choose to have one more child, that would be enough to stabilize the United States population. In that future, there would still be many ways to live a life or be a family. 2 kids on average doesn't mean 2 kids for everyone. 8:46 right now. Got to take a break. It'll be a short one, so stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Like the pine trees lining the winding road, I've got a name, I've got a name. Like the singing bird and the croaking toad, I've got a name, I've got a name. And I carry it with me like my daddy did, but I'm living the dream that he kept here. Moving me down the highway, rolling me down the highway, moving ahead so life won't pass me by. Like a north wind whistling down the sky, I've got a song, I've got a song. Like the whippoorwill and the baby's cry, I've got a song, I've got a song. And I carry it with me and I sing it loud. If it gets me nowhere, I go there proud. Moving me down the highway, rolling me down the highway, moving ahead so life.
Hail insurance is a critical part of your risk management plan. Here at Ag Country Farm Credit Services, our loan officers and insurance specialists work together to give you the best combination of risk management tools and hail insurance options. We'll analyze coverage levels and compare them to the cost of production and the crop revenue potential. Then we'll customize a hail plan to your specific operation. Contact your local Ag Country office to learn more.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend, Truman McGee.
From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah. The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. A mix of clouds and sun today with highs around 73. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Lows dip down to about 52. Highs level off around 74 tomorrow. Overcast. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Wednesday with highs in the low 80s. Chance for scattered rain showers and highs in the upper 70s on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 52.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Me standing around crying. Oh, baby, look how you got me standing around crying. Resting on my mind. Oh, baby, I ain't gonna be riding around in my automobile.
So now we're getting somewhere. Music from Muddy Waters. And we got 852 right now, 54 degrees in Hayward, 54 degrees in La Crosse as well. And just before the break, we were discussing this opinion piece in the New York Times with a headline that says the world's population may peak in your lifetime. So what happens next? This piece is written by Dr. Dean Spears, who is an economist at the University of Texas, Austin, and a research affiliate at its Population Research Center. He's a guy that studies population, and he, as well as other experts, are saying that while the population of the Earth has steadily increased over the past 200 years, at some point, probably about 50 or 60 years from now, it'll start to decline, and it'll probably happen pretty quickly. And we were just to the place in this opinion piece where it says, nobody yet knows what to do about global depopulation, but it wasn't long ago that nobody knew what to do about climate change. These shared challenges have much in common, which gives humanity some shared experience to build on. As with climate change,
Our individual decisions on family size add up to an outcome that we all share. No people are making mistakes when they choose not to have children or to have small families. In parentheses, it says, although we might all be making a mistake together when, instead of taking care of one another, we make it hard for people to choose larger families. Peace goes on and says, it's in no one's hands to change global population trajectories alone, not yours, whatever you choose for your life, not one country's, not one generation's. Nor is it in your hands personally to end all carbon emissions, even by ending your own emissions. And yet our personal choices add up to big implications for humanity as a whole. It's not too early to take depopulation seriously. The New York Times reported on the threat of climate change in 1956. Let me repeat that. The New York Times reported on the threat of climate change in 1956. A scientist testified about it before Congress in 1957. In 1965, the White House released a report calling carbon dioxide a pollutant, warning of a warming world with melting ice caps and rising sea levels. That was nearly six decades ago. Six decades from now is when the United Nations projects the size of the world population will peak. There won't be any quick fixes. Even if it's too early today to know exactly how to build an abundant future that offers good lives to a stable, large, and flourishing future population, we should already be working toward that goal. Waiting until the population peaks is waiting until the population peaks to ask how to respond to depopulation would be as imprudent as waiting until the world starts to run out of fossil fuels to begin responding to climate change. Humanity needs a compassionate, factual, and fair conversation about how to respond to depopulation and how to share the burdens of creating each future generation. The way to have that conversation is to start paying attention now. And that is the piece that was just posted at the New York Times today with a headline that says, the world's population may peak in your lifetime. What happens next? That piece written by Dr. Dean Spears, economist at the University of Texas in Austin and a research affiliate at its Population Research Center. What do you think? Do you have an opinion on that? If you do, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Got to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News.
App.